It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. It's August, which means congressional lawmakers are on summer recess. But that doesn't mean they aren't busy. Many, like U.S. Senator Pat Toomey, are back in their home states. This morning, Senator Toomey was in the area speaking to the Mercer and Lawrence Chamber of Commerce about the federal budget, spending, and taxes. He joins us now by phone. Senator Toomey, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Good morning, Paul. Thanks for having me.
And if you have a comment or question for our senator, for our guest, Senator Pat Toomey, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address, ESSPGH@WESA.FM. And you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Senator Toomey, you and fellow Pennsylvania Senator Bob Casey are working together to develop a proposal to reform America's tax code. You're both members of the Senate Finance Committee. What are the things that you're looking at?
Well, I've got to tell you, I would love to see us reform the tax code. And it's true that Senator Casey and I are both on the committee that has jurisdiction. I think we need to reform both the business side of the tax code as well as the individual code. But I don't want to create the expectation that it's likely to happen anytime soon. The fact is, It takes strong presidential leadership to get this done, and I don't think it's a very high priority for the president. And Senator Reid has indicated that any kind of tax reform he thinks should be at least a $1 trillion tax increase, and that's a non-starter with me and with my fellow Republicans and probably some Democrats. So, I'm happy to continue to discuss different ideas, but the prospects don't look very good in the short term.
Well, it's been said that this is the first serious effort at tax reform in a quarter century. So why don't we look at the common ground between Republicans and Democrats on tax reform? What are the things that you're finding that you and your colleagues are agreeing on?
I think there's some general agreement on some broad principles. One, for instance, is a recognition that we have the highest business tax rate in virtually the entire world, certainly all of the developed world. And that puts our businesses at a competitive disadvantage. That creates a big incentive for multinational companies to headquarter themselves somewhere outside of the United States, which is terrible for economic growth and job creation here. So there's some acknowledgement that what we ought to do is lower those rates and to offset the lost revenue, plug some loopholes, reduce the deductions and write-offs and tax credits and other features that create loopholes. So that's called, that's usually referred to as broadening the base. In other words, broadening the kinds of income, a business income that is subject to tax, but then tax all income at a lower rate. There's pretty broad agreement that that's a sensible principle. It starts getting tricky in a hurry, though, when you start looking at individual loopholes and tax credits and deductions and that sort of thing, then it gets really controversial. So that's why it's tough to do, and it really probably is going to take strong presidential leadership.
Senator Toomey, we'll switch gears. There's been a lot of discussion over the revelations of the NSA and just how much they have been listening and looking into the personal communications of Americans. Chris is on the line from Moon, and he has a question on a related topic. Chris, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yes, hello, and hello, Senator Toomey. I just want to know what your position is, on reform of the FISA laws, as per Representative Amash, in the House. How do you stand on all that?
Yeah, my thoughts are, I'm becoming increasingly concerned. It seems that, every other day we discover something new that's happening at the NSA that we weren't aware of. The 2,600 instances where they captured information about American citizens that is not legal for them to be in possession of. Now, they insist that it was all inadvertent. There's no systematic effort to go after information about Americans. On the other hand, it seems as though this wasn't fully disclosed when it should have been disclosed. Now we're learning more about possible other examples where the NSA is obtaining information it shouldn't have. So I feel like we don't know yet, and we need to get to the bottom of this. It's not acceptable to not know what the NSA is actually engaged in. I do think they play a very important role, and I think it's perfectly legitimate for the NSA to monitor foreigners' communications, and that's a legitimate and important national security function. But it seems to me they've certainly got some management issues at a minimum. I don't know how Edward Snowden was able to get a hold of all the information that he took with him and then gave away to the Chinese government. So at a minimum, there are significant managerial issues, and it's quite possible we have other issues. But we're just learning more, you know, by the day. So I don't feel like I don't feel as though we have a real grasp of the magnitude and the extent of the problem. And I think that's essential that we get that. I think when we get back, we're going to have a series of hearings. I'm pretty sure that's going to happen, and we'll have the NSA folks sit down under oath, and they've got a lot of explaining to do.
Chris, thank you for that phone call. Senator Toomey, in the wake of a potential school shooting in Georgia being narrowly avoided, gun control advocates are hoping to revive the debate over expanded background checks. And, of course, you and Democratic Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia famously supported legislation to expand background checks that was defeated only 6 votes short of the threshold to block a filibuster. Will you try to revive that discussion in the Senate?
Well, look, I still believe that it's just common sense that you do a quick background check to make sure that somebody trying to buy a gun through a commercial vendor is not either a criminal who therefore has lost his right to possess a firearm, or someone who's been adjudicated as mentally ill and dangerously so. I just think that's common sense. I don't think that's gun control. I don't think that infringes on anybody's Second Amendment. If I did, I wouldn't have supported it. We actually, you're right, the vote was 54, but Harry Reid intentionally voted no only so that he would reserve a procedural right to bring up the vote again. So we're actually at 55. And if I thought that we had the votes to pass it, I would want to vote again so that we could pass it. I don't think we do right now. I think we're still short. We may have had one or two senators who would vote, who voted no last time and would vote yes this time. But I'm not even sure of that. So I just think we just don't have the votes right now.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest, Pennsylvania U.S. Senator Pat Toomey. Senator, the immigration debate has been a hot one this summer. You voted against the comprehensive immigration reform bill. Why?
Well, there are several reasons, and one of the reasons I voted against it is I think that in the form that the Senate passed that bill, it invites the next wave of illegal immigration. And one of the reasons I say that is there is not nearly enough opportunity for low-skilled workers to come to this country and work, whether through guest worker program or through immigration. And so part of the problem is I think there are a lot of people in Congress who have this mistaken notion that if you don't have a great deal of education or a great deal of job training and skills, then somehow you know, we don't want you in this country and you're not good for America. And that's just not true. You know, my grandparents came to this country from Ireland with very little education and no skills. They didn't harm America. They didn't weaken our economy. They helped to build it because they went to work. That's what they came here to do. And other people who want to come to this country and work, they'll help to build this country. So I was very disappointed. I looked at this bill and it does a pretty good job of allowing more immigration of high-skilled workers, you know, people graduating from college with advanced degrees and technical degrees and that sort of thing. You know, the big wave of illegal immigration that we've had has been from low-skilled workers, and that's going to continue if we don't find a way to give these people a legal opportunity to come here. We should do a background check. We should have control at the border. But it's a mistake to think that lower-skilled workers are not an asset to America if they're coming here and they're coming here to work.
Well, there are those in Pennsylvania who feel that some of the high-skilled workers are also having problems because of the lack of immigration reform. And one of them is a fellow by the name of Brian Kennedy of the Pittsburgh Technology Council. We had him on the show, and I want to play you a soundbite from him on this issue. Here's what Brian Kennedy had to say.
The technology jobs follow talent. So Pittsburgh has a tremendous story to tell in terms of its recent emergence as a technology powerhouse. The fact that companies like Google and Disney and others looking to move here right now with hundreds of jobs, there's really only one reason. It's because Pittsburgh is known as a place for talent. So the problem that the nation faces is that that talent is increasingly being dispersed across the world because of U.S. immigration policy. Carnegie Mellon University is a magnet for the smallest number of the brightest people in the entire world, and they are coming here and they are receiving advanced degrees in computer science. See, increasingly, they're not staying here in Pittsburgh, and they're not even staying in the United States. They're going to places like Beijing and like Shanghai and like London, and they are, as a result, attracting companies to follow them there, where they're going. And so that in and of itself is costing the United States jobs. Just the fact that the world's best and brightest people who are trained in U.S. universities, who then return to their countries, that's bleeding jobs from the United States.
And again, that was Brian Kennedy of the Pittsburgh Technology Council. What about what he is saying, Senator?
Brian, everything that Brian Kennedy said is 100% correct. And that's no question about it. We attract some of the best and brightest kids from all around the world who come to our colleges, very much including in Western Pennsylvania. And then they graduate with degrees, and just when they're ready to become really productive citizens, we kick them out. And so they go to some other country and they compete against us. And this is a huge mistake. Frankly, I would welcome all of these kids. The legislation that the Senate passed doesn't go nearly that far, but it increases the number of highly skilled, well-educated immigrants that would be allowed to come to this country. That is progress. On the other hand, it also creates more hoops and red tape to go through in order to come here. So the number that's permitted goes up, but the process to get here becomes more onerous. So that's unfortunate. But I think the fundamental point that Brian is making is exactly right, that we should be welcoming these people with open arms, not severely limiting the number that can come here.
So you're saying that the bill in its current state does not do that?
The bill does, a mediocre job addressing the high-skilled segment of the workforce, and as I said, in the form of lifting the numerical cap, but at the same time, it makes it harder to comply with the rules to come under that cap. And then at the low-skilled segment, which Brian was not referring to, but I talked about earlier, I think the bill is ridiculously deficient in terms of not allowing people to come here legally, and therefore simply inviting the ongoing illegal immigration that we've seen in recent years.
Let's take a call from Nick in Lawrenceville. Nick, thanks for waiting. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much. You've pretty much covered everything that I wanted to say. Senator Toomey, right now the number of green cards, work cards, to come into this country is woefully low, and they're really unrealistic. In my mind, the easiest way to solve the immigration problem is to increase the number of green cards to satisfy our needs, to make the people coming in legal, but not to offer citizenship. Now, once they're in the country and they're working and they have a track record, if they wish to apply for citizenship in the normal manner, let them. If it takes 10 years, they have the green card. That way we maintain the lower workforce that we need, and we are also bringing back the entrepreneur, the brightest students back to this country to keep America strong and vibrant. Without the intellectual and physical labor, we will eventually fade.
Well, I think the essential point I agree with. I think the essential point is immigration is good for America. And let's remember that we're a country almost entirely of immigrants, right? Almost every one of us is either an immigrant or descendant from an immigrant. So somehow we managed to go from being this very, very small colonial backwater to the greatest, wealthiest, most productive country in the history of the world with huge immigration. I think ongoing immigration, it will continue to be good for us. I think it should be controlled. We should be checking backgrounds. We should have that kind of discipline, but we should welcome people who want to come to this country and build a better life for themselves and their kids. And there's different mechanisms we could use, whether it's through various kinds of visas, green cards, a citizenship path. I think there should be multiple avenues. As I say, I think, you know, it's just an unambiguous fact that, you know, immigrants built this country, and people who want to come here for a better life, they'll help build a better America.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. Our guest is Pennsylvania U.S. Senator Pat Toomey. Let's turn to another issue, and that is the implementation of the Affordable Care Act, which, as you know, is at hand, Senator Toomey. We know that you are opposed to Obamacare, as you call it, but it is also the law of the land at this point. Former Utah Governor and Health and Human Services Secretary Michael Levitt, who also opposed the Affordable Care Act, suggested modeling implementation of the ACA after the Bush administration's rollout of Medicare Part D. What are your thoughts about that, Senator?
I'm really not familiar with that specific proposal, but I just have to tell you, I think the bill, the law, you're right, it is the law of the land, but it is fatally flawed, and it's coming apart as we watch. The previous supporters of this, including some very aggressive proponents of this legislation, like the leadership of organized labor, has come out and said this legislation is devastating. It's costing them the kind of coverage that they were promised they'd be able to keep. It's clearly costing us jobs. It's demonstrably resulting in people getting fewer hours to work. The cost of healthcare is rising. It's not declining, and it's fundamental to its design. So it can't be fixed. Maybe there's a way to implement some portion in a less damaging way than otherwise, but that's pretty same gruel. I mean, I think we really have to repeal this bill and start from scratch because it's built on impossibly flawed premises.
But there are indications that the law will, in fact, give millions of Americans who currently lack access to health insurance coverage. And we've heard from healthcare professionals on this program that they especially like the Affordable Care Act because it promotes, among other things, preventative health measures. And with regard to the facts and figures, which we can certainly argue about, or there is an argument to be had there on those different cost points, but some people are getting a break in their health care costs, as cited by people like Paul Krugman of the New York Times.
There may be some people who are getting a break, but I travel across Pennsylvania on a very regular basis, and I hear from employers, and you know most people get their insurance through their employer, and employers are telling me that they're paying much more in premiums. And it only stands to reason. Let's face it. What the bill does, among many other things, is it mandates it prescribes these very specific features, including all kinds of provisions that may not be in current policies. Well, it may sound nice to have these coverages, but someone's got to pay for them. And it comes out of the pocket, ultimately, of a worker, because an employer has so much money to spend on a workforce. And whether that's spent in the form of wages or buying health insurance for them, if you drive up the cost of health insurance by forcing them to pay for all kinds of coverages that the government wants to force on us, well, you can do it, but then that means people will have less in wages. It's a zero-sum game in that respect. And I just think it's a terrible diminution in personal freedom. It's certainly eliminates the opportunity to have patient control over their own and ownership over their own health care. We should be moving in the exact opposite direction, not having the government dictating all the terms, but freeing individuals to buy the kind of policy that works best for them, for their family. That's the direction that we should be going in, giving individuals the same tax break that their employer gets so that they could go out and buy an insurance plan that works for them, allowing competition across state lines so that insurance companies have to compete for our business. We ought to have expanded opportunities to deduct the cost of health insurance that individuals and families buy, expand medical savings accounts so that it becomes more affordable. There's a lot we can do to make insurance more affordable and more accessible and more responsive to the individual patient. Right now, we're moving in the direction of government bureaucracy completely controlling this process, and I just think that's the wrong direction to go.
And I know we're just about out of time and that you need to move on, Senator. I just wanted to share a tweet with you from Dr. Chris Hughes, who says Medicaid expansion will create jobs. Nothing on ACA will reduce jobs. And again, that's from Dr. Chris Hughes.
Well, let me just point out one simple fact. The mandates, the costly mandates in the bill apply to an employer that has 50 or more employees. I know of employers who have 48 or 47 or 49 workers. They won't hire the 50th, because if they do, now all of a sudden the insurance plan they have no longer qualifies. They have to throw that out the window and buy a much more expensive plan. And so it absolutely is costing us jobs, because I talk to people who are living with it.
Pennsylvania U.S. Senator Pat Toomey. Senator, we wish we had more time with you, but we appreciate the time you've given us. Thank you so much for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh today.
Thanks very much for having me, Paul.
Coming up, should voters decide whether Allegheny County allows natural gas drilling in parks? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.